This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 31st pick in the NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to
preview the prospect
are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Yes,
don't we have
do.
The 27th pick too?
But we also have the 31st, Andy.
Why are we talking about
picky?
The second pick, not first.
I don't know. I just work here. In case you haven't figured it out, we're talking draft and we're talking draft prospects here. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo at Gillette Stadium.
We could trade the 27th, and then we'd have the 31st.
We're going to take a look at some defensive backs today.
Why are you staring at me?
What do you think of defensive backs, Andy? Cornerbacks, safeties?
I think it's a lock that the team will draft at least one.
And that's why we're going to start
because, A, they always do.
The ball at that spot.
And, B, the defensive backfield stinks.
Yeah, it was among the worst in football, again, for the second year in a row. And this particular year, surpassed only by Green Bay in the last week of the season as the worst ever.
Worst I've ever seen.
So, certainly, the Patriots could use some depth and some talent upgrades in the secondary. A lot of talk about a guy like Asante Samuel possibly coming back. Seems like we talk about that every year since he left. But a lot of cornerbacks are up for debate here, Andy. According to our pals at NFL Draft Scout, 38 different cornerbacks have the possibility of a draftable rating or grade. And some of those are more talented than others, obviously. And there's only a handful, though, of high-end talent, first-round talent here. Most people believe Morris Claiborne is the head and shoulders number one guy. I personally think the most talented guy has a lot of red flags attached to his name, Janoris Jenkins. I'm just curious, before we get into who might make sense for the Patriots and where they might take a cornerback, Andy, what are your overall impressions of the top end of that cornerback draft class?
I think they're good players. I'm not sold on Claiborne. I'm kind of feel like him. I did with Peterson a year ago. Good, not great. Didn't see anything that jumped off tape with me that said, you know what, I got to get that guy in the top five or six picks. And that's how I feel about Claiborne. He's solid. I'm not sure he's going to be a star. I'm not sure you're going to say, woo, that's Darrell Revis. That's a shutdown corner right there. It's Pro Bowler. No, I'm not seeing it. And I agree with you. I think physical gifts, Janoris Jenkins might be the best. I think he proved that in his time at Florida. I think he cemented that again at North Alabama. But he's also cemented that he's not, you know, the most solid of citizens. And you'd have to worry about that. But if you're telling me, would I rather have Claiborne at 5 or Jenkins at 27 or 31, I'd take Jenkins at 27 or 31. I can miss there. I can't miss at 5.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no guarantees, obviously, that Jenkins is going to be available or where he's going to go because of the things that Andy alluded to. Several arrests for marijuana possession, marijuana-related arrests at Florida, to the point where when Urban Meyer left and Will Muschamp came in, he dismissed him from the team. That's what forced the transfer to North Alabama. He also, and I guess you could take this, whatever way, I guess, your personal feelings on this, but has 4 children with 3 different women. Coming into the NFL.
Not good.
An Antonio Cromartie-like track record. He's well on the way to that kind. And I think, Andy, it speaks to sort of a lack of judgment.
Sure.
And decision-making ability. But physically on the field, this guy is terrific. You see him on tape. You read the write-ups about him. He's comfortable in press. He's comfortable in zones. He could play on and off. He's physical. He's fast. He's got great ball skills. And I don't know how many different years we're going to use the term ball skills to describe a defensive back, and Andy Hart is going to laugh. But
well, it's a little more impressive with
he
him.
He did it again.
That's why he has 4 kids.
So anyway.
Great ball skills.
Jumping. Still competing. Get their hands on balls. And right now I'm intrigued by that competition.
I think you have to obviously do a lot of homework on this kid.
And luckily Belichick has the pipeline to Muschamp. To Meyer and even Charlie Weiss.
Yeah. So if you can get that and kick the tires in this guy and be comfortable with him, I think it's too much talent there to pass up. But who knows how that's going to go. Moving
Do
a little
bit.
Do you
see that need? That would be the only question. Having drafted
Devin
McCourty,
but not
and having drafted Rozai Dowling, 2 essentially first round picks in the last 2 years. Is there a need to go first round again for a corner?
Is there a need to do it? No, but I think it is one of the very high priorities in the team. Is they need more defensive backs that can play. That are going to be on the field and can play.
So you're not sold that McCourty, Dowling, and Arrington are your is you know, a,
is good
a,
enough?
Good enough.
No.
Okay.
No. And, you know, I think there's questions with all three of those guys. If,
clearly.
You know, if it were, you know, if you had a high-end talent as one of those three, maybe I'd be a little bit more comfortable with it. And I'm not saying Darrell Revis, but if I had a little, you know, even Ladarius Webb, who just signed a big contract extension with Baltimore, someone I have a pretty good idea. I don't know what I'm going to get out of any of those three
right.
guys.
If you had McCourty 2 years ago, you'd feel good.
Oh, I'd feel much better about it. I just don't know what I'm going to get out of those three guys. Dowling health-wise, McCourty consistency-wise, and Arrington sort of is what he is. He's a solid player, nothing more, nothing less. So, yeah, I think you need a little bit more there. I agree with you, Andy. You don't have to do it in the first round. There's some second-round guys that I like. One that I really like is the kid out of South Carolina, Stephon Gilmore. You and I both watched him, both liked him. But there's some other guys. Alfonso Denard is a guy from Nebraska. Some people sort of wondering if he maybe tailed off as a senior playing without the Prince, Amukamara, from who's now with the New York Giants. People have some questions there. You know, Chase Minifield, Leonard Johnson. There's a couple other guys. Brandon Boykin's a guy with a lot of versatility from Georgia. I don't want to use every single name up, Andy.
Well, he would be what I was going to talk about because, as I mentioned with the receivers, if you bring the return game into the equation and think this team needs kick and punt returners, you know, who knows what Edelman's future is? I know most people think he's established as the punt returner, but depending on how the wide receiver jobs shake down, you know, I don't know that he's locked down that job. And if you bring in a guy like Boykin who can help you in the defensive backfield and bring some value as a returner, that might be a possibility. A couple other guys I liked, a guy out of Coastal Carolina, Josh Norman.
Very good.
Is more of a third, fourth round pick. 3-year all-conference. He had a good Shrine Bowl kind of helping competition-wise,
yep.
raise his
always
stock.
Have those questions about those guys. And
I liked him.
And he belonged when he played with the bigger boys.
The Josh Robinson, Central Florida, I think is an intriguing guy. He was a combine star. We didn't have a ton of film on him, I don't think, but he's an interesting one. You know, I think there is a lot of talent. That's why, you know, we're working on mock drafts now, and you get to that point where you're on the clock and you say who's available, and part of what you think about is, well, who can I get later? You know, if I don't take Janoris Jenkins, can I get a starting corner later? If I don't take a pass rusher, can I get a legitimate pass rusher later? I think at wide receiver and cornerback, you say, yes, I can get a guy later. And I know fans don't want to hear that because that's the Belichick philosophy that some really bristle at. But I really think at cornerback, you can get some guys in the mid rounds that you may not have to use after using high, high picks on that position the last 2 years. You may not have to do it again.
Well, I agree with you on the comparison to wide receiver. I think you're right on with that. I think there's some good players to be had in rounds 2 and 3 and probably even beyond at cornerback. Just before we switch gears and move to safety, Andy, where do you think the Patriots should take a defensive back or a cornerback specifically?
A cornerback I would not take. Jenkins will make me think a lot because I think he has elite
talent. That's about
it. No,
but
Jenkins. Other than Jenkins, I'm not taking one, and probably definitely not my first two and probably not my first three picks.
Okay.
It would be somewhere that second rounder into the third round where I'd start to say, okay, I'm going to take a corner.
Okay, safety is also a need. We know all the stories about last year. It was basically Patrick Chung and hold your breath, and it was a different guy there seemingly every week. James Ahedebo played the majority of the season next to him.
Dude.
He's still a free agent, even though I think we both expect him to be back. And then they had a whole bunch of other guys just rotate through. Sergio Brown, Josh Barrett was there early before he got hurt, all the way down to special teamers and offensive players like Julian Edelman and Matthew Slater. It was a mess. They need a safety, and they need one pretty quick. NFL Draft Scout has 28 different safeties. They list 15 free safeties and 13 strong safeties with draftable grades. The problem here, Andy, again, the high-end talent is just lacking.
Yeah, and Mark Barron is the guy. You know, he's the guy that I think you want to pinpoint as coming from a Nick Saban defense, similar structure, coaching, discipline, not necessarily ideal fit because he doesn't have those true free safety skills, cover skills, but a solid tackler, kind of that back-end solidifying force that I think this team could really use. You know, even though there probably would be some overlapping similarities with Patrick Chung and their styles of play, I just think he's too good a talent to pass up, but I also think that somebody before the Patriots is going to say that and take him, you know, potentially in the teens, the mid-teens. So I don't, even though he has the hernia issue that's kept him from working out and right. I thought might push him down to 27, I don't think that's going to happen at this point. I think he's too good a football player to last that long. And he is the guy for me that there's a significant drop off after that.
Yeah, I agree. I like Barron a lot, and I also agree with you that I don't think he'll be around. But there are a couple other interesting names. You know, Notre Dame's Harrison Smith is one that gets thrown out there a lot. And he just sort of made a face. I have to agree with him. He's okay. I think he's a good player. I don't think there's anything special there. Second or third round, I think if you could get him there, I think that would be okay. But certainly wouldn't take him any higher than that. Guy I like more than Andy is the kid from Boise State, George Iloka. I'm not exactly positive how to pronounce his last name. I kind of thought he played with a little bit of an edge, evidently, in reading some more about him. Played sometimes with a little bit too much edge. Got himself in trouble with his emotions on the field and off with the coaching staff there at Boise with Chris Peterson. So maybe that's something to watch out for. Any guys? I know that there was an Alabama corner, Andy. Menzie, I think that you really liked as a possibility as a safety as well.
Yeah, I think Daquan Menzie would make a lot of sense as a third, fourth round pick. He was a corner there, moved inside to the star position in the slot for Nick Saban's defense. Saban himself has said he's probably going to be a cover safety, free safety in the NFL. I think that would make a lot of sense for some of the reasons of Barron, the similarities in schemes and coaching and the trust factor with Saban. So he's a guy I would keep an eye on. Markell Martin, kid out of Oklahoma State. is a free safety type that I think is a big hitter. Had a knee injury that is something they'd have to look at, but he goes after the ball. He plays physical. I liked what I saw on tape from him. Has, you know, 4.5 type speed. Trenton Robinson out of Michigan State, I liked. Another physical guy, not afraid to tackle. You think of free safety and you wonder, you know, are they part of the running game? But, you know, these guys, most of these guys are big guys that can hit. He was a little stiff in coverage, but that's just what it is. It's very rare you find Ed Reed, a guy who's just, you know, that center fielder who can, quote, you know, is more valuable than two safeties back right there. You got to try to find the happy medium of, can he cover, but is he a good football player? And, you know, some of these guys have that versatility, I think, and Belichick would be able to make good use of them, certainly more so than having Matthew Slater as your center fielder.
Yeah, and Robinson is one of those guys. He's a little small. He looks like a corner, but as you said, he doesn't really cover like a corner. So that's what the question is. I like him a little bit as well. And a little of a smaller school guy, McNeese State, Jansen Jackson is a guy that I liked a little bit later rounds. But I think safety in particular, I think, needs to be an area that they look at because they're just lacking.
Yeah, Stephen Gregory, they obviously brought in from the Chargers, and you'd pencil him in as your starter at free safety right now. But that's still not enough depth, even if Ahedebo comes back. I think you need to bring more talent there, more young talent. I mean, ideally, you'd like to pair somebody up with Chung and say, you know, we got that for the next 3-4 years. One last guy I want to talk about was LSU Brandon Taylor. 5'11", 209. He's projected as like a fourth, fifth round pick. I like his play. I mean, I think he can play.
We both
here.
Liked him on tape, and some people, I think Todd McShay earlier this week, really talked him up, so he agreed with our assessments.
I think he's
he must be listening to our
probably
our sessions inside the
but
the
I think
film room.
Showed the size you like, but had range on tape. I think he's just a good football player, and even at that point, you're talking about fourth or fifth round pick. Even if he's just a good special teamer, you know, you've kind of hit on something. You know, if he's a depth guy in the secondary and a special teamer, but I agree with you. I think they need to take a safety. Barron's the guy if he's there in the, you know, at 27. Otherwise, these second tier guys probably, you know, again, you know, late second,
just
early
like corner.
Third.
If that guy that you just can't pass up is there at 27, you take him. You know, we think maybe a guy like Janoris Jenkins at corner, right. Definitely
Barron
Mark
at
Barron
safety.
At safety. Otherwise, you're waiting. You're waiting probably another 30 picks.
Otherwise, fans get pissed because he trades down or out.
Yeah, and you know what? The more I watch these guys, the more I feel that way as well. And the good news for everybody listening, you can watch the same stuff that Andy and I have been watching because our good buddy Chris Ferreira has finally done something.
And he's going to have a heart attack if we don't tell you to watch what he's put on the web.
He's got the video of a lot of these guys, if not all of them, up there as we speak on Patriots.com. So there is some draft video, so you can watch the same stuff that Andy and I are doing our evaluations on and try to make the best guesstimates as to what you think the Patriots might like and what you probably think they don't like. So that's up on Patriots.com now. We encourage you to take a look. And
we don't have to
Andy
end
has
negative.
One more.
There's two ways to look at this. If the guy you want doesn't fall to 27, you don't necessarily have to trade down and out. You could be proactive and trade up to go get a Mark Barron, to go get a pass rusher. So I don't want everybody to say, oh, boy, it's going to be another draft. Oh, we trade down from 27 and we trade out from 30. You could package those, get up as far as 10. Who knows? Bill has done stranger things.
And we will move along on our next draft podcast. We're going to do
front seven coming.
Probably some Biggins. Defensive line and linebackers. And, before you know it, as Andy said, less than 3 weeks away from the first round on Thursday night, the 26th. April 26th. So not too long. We'll see you next time.
It's Chris Ferreira.
He took a swan dive off the Mystic River Bridge 3 hours ago.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.